Another guy who's not lucky but blessed is Jason Cans, and he's on the other end of the phone on this National Cheese Lovers Day. Good morning.
Good morning. National Cheese Lovers Day. That's a holiday made directly for me.
There you go. Yeah, I thought you'd like that. I mean, I was going to sell that as a perk. You may be unpaid now into year three for doing this gig with us, but I mean, as a cheese lover, you get to kick off the day and answer our question, which is twofold. What is your favorite kind of cheese and how do you like it served?
Oh, man. That's a good one. I would say my favorite kind of cheese is probably Ellsworth cheese curds. Fresh from the factory is really the way I like them. Though, I mean, it's a hard question because there's really so many different kinds of cheese that I like.
And go ahead and tell us some of the others. I mean, why not? You're kicking it off here. You're batting leadoff, so.
Well, you know, I like Longhorn Colby, which is really good. I like Blueberry Stilton.
I've never heard of that. Blueberry Stilton cheese.
Yeah. A friend of mine actually from Kentucky picked some up for me at one point, and it's a little bit crumbly, a little bit sweet, and it was just wonderful. I really like, you know, one of the things Tessa and I would do for a while is we would go to Woodman's and just try a different cheese every week, and there are just so many really good ones out there.
Yeah.
Maraquis Gouda, you know, I really like that. So, that's a tough question.
There's
a lot of good ones.
The Maraquis Gouda, I mean, I've got a gift certificate for, it sounds like the name of the store in Thorpe.
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay, so that, there's specifically the cheese. Anyhow, it's been one of those things where I don't travel Thorpe
that much. That's what they're known for. It's their Gouda cheese. I mean, that's kind of what they're known for. We used to have a Great Dane named Liam, and I had picked up some 2-year-aged Gouda from that place, and he stole it off the counter and ate the whole thing, and I was really, really upset. Probably one of the few times I was upset with him. So
he knew it was really Gouda.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true.
That was kind of a cheesy joke, I guess.
That was terrible.
All right. We're hearing from Dan the trucker this morning, and he says, great, great morning. We met Dan in person last week, so that was great to meet him, stop by, and I think gave him some goodies. And he's answering the cheese question. He says, baby Swiss at room temp while sitting in a recliner in lounge clothes. Answering, again, the question, what's your favorite cheese and how do you like it served? So,
That's good stuff.
You kind of did the 7-10 split, though, in by answering, because you said you answered you like the Ellsworth cheese curds, so you were able to give us the kind of cheese. But no, did you, when you say Ellsworth cheese curds, I mean, what kind is that, cheddar, or what kind of cheese do you like the curds of?
I think that's probably what they are, is cheddar curds. Yeah.
Here was an off-air conversation with Caleb yesterday. It was just the idea that he's like, well, he just kind of assumed that cheddar will be overwhelmingly the winner here. And I wondered, because Kathy Brunier and State Representative Roser, they just had a hearing on making Colby the official state cheese. And, of course, Colby in the district here. So that'll be interesting to see what happens with that.
Yeah. I would be in support of that. You know, it's a little sad to me that the cheese factory in Colby is no longer open. That's not active anymore.
Yeah, that is sad.
Even though it's the place that founded one of the finest cheeses we have in Wisconsin.
You specifically said, we are going to get to some more content here in a second, but you did say that you said Longhorn Colby. What's the distinguishing thing about the specifying the Longhorn Colby? Because I've seen that. I've had that. But.
I think it's a texture issue. I think the flavor is still very similar, but it tends to be a little bit drier, and I like that. So for Christmas a couple of years ago, my mom bought me an 8-pound roll of Longhorn Colby. So
8 pounds. Okay. Yeah. See, my wife's birth's coming up, and she loves multiple cheeses, and I mean, she loves her cheese. She had some cheese fries last night for dinner. She found in the frozen food section, and I think at Aldi, and she said they're outstanding. But the thing is, like, 8 pounds of cheese. That would be, because I'm pondering that as one of said gifts for her birthday, which is 4 days away. Okay, so closing spiritual content.
That takes like a good day or two to get through.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Hey, we got a book from a listener, Bob, and it's a Henry Nouwen book, and you shared a quote from it yesterday, and it's just so good. We're kind of up against the end of our time, but maybe we can share it and then talk more about it tomorrow.
Sure. Yeah, so the quote comes from the book Following Jesus by Henry Nouwen, and it says, "The first love says, I loved you before you could love anyone or before you could receive love from anyone. I have accepted you. You are accepted. You are loved no matter what mother, father, brother, sister, school, church, society does. You are born out of my love. I have breathed you out of my love. I have spoken you out of my love. You are the incarnation of my love, and in me there is no hatred, there is no revenge, there is no resentment. There is nothing that wants to reject you. I love you. Can you trust that love?"
Well, that's so good. That's fantastic. I'm going to say goodbye to you and read it one more time as an intro to Amy Grant's Lover of My Soul. But and so, again, the name of the book is what?
Following Jesus by Henry Nouwen.
And so, you know, I thought all of Henry Nouwen's books had come. I mean, is this posthumously published, or what's the deal on this?
Yep. Yeah, it was somebody, there's a woman who has gone through some of his old lectures and worked diligently to kind of put them into book form, and this is one of them that she did that with. So
fantastic. All right, I'll look forward to diving in. No surprise you're in it first, Mr. Reader. We'll talk to you tomorrow. There we go, our cheese-loving friend Jason Kahn. Yeah, Wes King with a birthday today. Here's the deal. After picking up the guitar at age 14, Wes wrote his first songs 2 years later after studying the Bible at Covenant College. He relocated to Franklin, Tennessee. He signed with Reunion Records and recorded his first solo LP, The Ultimate Underlying No Denying Motivation, in 1990. After issuing Sticks and Stones a year later, Wes resurfaced in 93 with The Robe. 1995's Common Creed was his biggest hit to date, notching 3 chart toppers. Life is Precious, we've played that many times in conjunction with Sanctity of Human Life. The Love of Christ, Beautiful, and the title cut as well, Common Creed. Yeah, and in 1997, he issued A Room Full of Stories, his most acclaimed effort yet, followed by What Matters Most in 2000, which was released on Word Artisan. Now, in 2005, Wes was diagnosed with lymphoma and underwent many months of extremely difficult treatments and years of side effects. He's now reported to be, according to Wikipedia, cancer-free and feeling well enough to spend time in his studio again. His song, Good to Be Alive, is a song of celebration and thankfulness for the life the Lord has given him, and we're going to play that tune for you this morning. John Berman on the line. He is born and raised in Eau Claire. John, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to talk to you today.
And you.
All right. So, big football game coming up on Saturday night. It's the Packers and the Niners, and I understand the Packers are not your favorite NFL team. How could that be?
Well, I'm more than happy to cheer for the Packers, as long as they're not playing the 49ers. I grew up in Eau Claire, but my grandfather, he was more of a football fan to see good football and certain players and things like that. And back in the day, I'm going to age myself, but back when Joe Montana was a young guy and Bill Walsh was the coach and he was fairly young, and some of the defensive guys, Ronnie Lott and a couple of the other guys, that's what he liked to watch, is good football. And I kind of got hooked with a lot of the 49ers and been a fan ever since.
I can hear, you know, one of the things that takes me back to as a kid in the 70s, I remember I had a Pittsburgh Steelers dress shirt with Steelers helmets all over because you wanted a winner. And trust me, 70s Packers football and even the 80s was not too good. But it's been pretty good for about 30 years around here. I mean, so you're saying you like the Packers, but the Niners come out on top in your mind.
That's correct, yes.
And you actually have another California tie. I mean, you actually went to school at UCLA. How did that happen?
Well, I went out there for a job when I was younger, and I had recently graduated high school, and I thought, you know, if I'm going to go to college, now's the time to go. And, of course, back at that time, as long as you establish residency, it wasn't crazy expensive. So I thought, here's my opportunity. I'm going to do it. So I went to school in California because I was there working.
Mm-hmm. And, in fact, didn't you run, like, the first pizza joint? I want to say Domino's. Was Domino's or Little Caesars or what?
It was Domino's. That was back when Domino's was just starting to expand and moving nationwide. And I worked for, well, helped set up a couple of the franchises out in the Los Angeles basin.
Yeah. Okay. But the bottom line is, I mean, the football game, Saturday night, 7:15, in some really, really cold weather. Now, you won't be at Lambeau, though.
No, I can't afford tickets to go to Lambeau anymore.
Yeah, and Matt LaFleur's been mentioning it in his daily news conference. Like, if you're going to sell your tickets, sell them to Packers fans. You know,
yeah, I'm sure that's what they want, as many green and gold jerseys in the stadium as possible.
Mm. Well, tell you what, maybe we can check in with you again on Monday morning, John, early here. But we're very hopeful for a Packer win. You do know that.
I know that. I'm surrounded by Packer fans, and that's okay, you know,
yeah.
As long as it's good football. That's
yeah.
The bottom line for me. I want to see good football, and whoever comes out on tops, one of us will be licking our wounds on Monday morning.
That's for sure. Saturday night even. So, all right, well, we wish the Niners the best, but go Packers for sure is the green and gold cry on this Cheese Lover's Day. Hey, it is Cheese Lover's Day. Do you have a favorite cheese, and how do you like it served?
Boy, everybody likes curds,
yeah.
And there's a lot of different varieties, but a good cheese curd always hits the spot.
It does, absolutely. I hear you. Thanks so much, John. Appreciate it. Yeah, I got to say, I haven't voiced mine. I think, the cheese curds at a Milwaukee restaurant, Milwaukee Burger, and Grizzlies are, I'd probably give Milwaukee Burger the slight edge. They've got the Chipotle. Oh, it's very good, very, very good. You know, yesterday was Winnie the Pooh Day, and we were taking Winnie the Pooh quizzes. Was it yesterday or I don't know. It kind of blended in one into another. But on the heels of that, Tammy does say, with Winnie the Pooh Day this week, I thought you'd appreciate this in the Wib Wake Up Show page. She says, my son asked me, where does poo come from? I was a little uncomfortable, but gave him an honest explanation. He looked a little perplexed and stared at me in stunned silence for a few seconds and asked, and Tigger? It is Cheese Lover's Day, and asking listeners, what's your favorite kind of cheese and how do you like it served? Any quick thoughts on that one?
You know, I always love a good Colby. Mm-hmm. I very much love Colby. If we can include cheese curds, love those as well. But I have to say, our buddy Mike from La Crosse and I are kind of kindred spirits. Pepper Jack is fantastic.
Yeah.
Love it on sandwiches. Love it with Triscuits. Pepper Jack is the bomb.
There you go. Seventh time down, they mean business with that song, don't they? The one I'm running to, WWIB, the Lord is the one to run to with your problems. I always think of 1 Peter 5:7. It says cast all of your anxieties upon him because he cares for you. Our question of the morning on the listener line at 396-1670 in the Wib Wake Up Show Facebook page on this Cheese Lover's Day is, what's your favorite type of cheese and how do you like it served?
Yes. Good morning. I love Swiss if it's on a burger with mushrooms. But if I had to just pick one cheese that could only have one cheese forever and have it with nothing else, I would go with salami cheese. That you don't hear about too much is salami cheese, but I love that.
Good thoughts by Vicky.
Yeah, that sounds good. Susan on the Wib Wake Up Show kind of punted on the question and just said there's too many types of cheese that I love. I can't pick a favorite.
Yeah, right. That's like pick your favorite child, right? Well, you set your mission if you're willing to accept it, so we're going with that. Mission Impossible is the background music here.
Yes, indeed. So here's what we have going on. It's a little trivia for Halvo this morning, testing his knowledge of percentages, and we're playing high-low. So again, all you have to do is tell me if the percentage that I give you is too high or too low. So you'd think 50-50 shot.
All right.
I was out of this. Let's start off with this one, Halvo. 52% of us have attended some sort of support or self-help meeting. Is that number too high or too low? 52% of us have attended some sort of support or self-help meeting.
Huh. I think those are helpful. I sure have. I'm going to say they're too high or too low. So you're saying
So have less than 52% of people attended or more than 52%. Is that 52%
figure too high? It's a really good thing to do, but a lot of people shy away from it. So it's a very tough question. I'm going to say that it's even higher than that.
You're going to say that higher than 52% yes. of people have attended a self-help meeting.
I hope so.
Incorrect. Okay. No, only 14%.
Wow.
Only 14% have.
Oh, that's right. A big swing and a miss.
Okay. How about this one? Idaho. The state of Idaho grows about 1 billion potatoes annually. Is that number too high or too low? About 1 billion potatoes annually grown in the great state of Idaho.
I know they're big on potatoes. I just think that's too high.
You think that's too high?
Yeah.
Too low.
Oh, no.
27 billion potatoes, if you'd believe it, grown annually in Idaho.
Even Babe Ruth, he hit a lot of home runs, but he led the league in strikeouts, too, you know.
So, all right, well, here's the thing. You know this continent. You know this continent. 72% of Africa is wilderness. Is that too high or too low? 72% of the continent of Africa is wilderness. Too high or too low, Havel?
That is too high.
That is too high. You're absolutely correct. Okay. Just 28% is 28%. All right, getting back on track. Hey, 1 for 3 is a great batting average. The number of men who have set foot on the moon is 7. The number of men who have set foot on the moon is 7. Is that too high or too low?
Well, today is the birthday of Buzz Aldrin, and he was the second one to do it. Is that too high or too low? I think it is too high.
7 men on the moon. It's actually too low. 10.
That's what I meant to say. Too low.
10. All right. And one more. Roughly 1,000 U.S. men visit the emergency room each year with injuries related to shoveling snow. About 1,000 men each year in the U.S. visit the emergency room with shoveling snow-related injuries. Is that too high or too low?
I think it's too low.
You think it's too low? You are absolutely correct.
All right.
It's more like 11,500 every year.
That is 400. That is, nobody's hit 400 in the majors since Ted Williams in 1941.
There you go. Well done.
Well, I mean, it's kind of an annual occurrence, and if you're kind of a rite of passage, somewhere in your childhood, you've got to build a snowman, right?
Yeah. I mean, again, when Anna said, do you want to build a snowman, she was really asking the question to all of us. Mm-hmm. And the answer is yes. Yes, Anna, we do.
And I think our son, who's been with us 2 years and is now 17 years old, a sophomore at Eau Claire North, he said in one of the early snowfalls, he's like, I've never built a snowman. So I think that's still on his to-do list at some point.
Get it on the bucket list before
On the bucket list. But here's the deal. In Milltown, Wisconsin, a snowman standing 40 feet tall, drawing impressed visitors to the village there. The exhibit has arms made out of actual trees, a smile made out of saw blades, and a pipe that used to be a 5-gallon bucket.
This is really impressive. The giant snowman was actually born 2 years ago when Milltown, of course, up there in Polk County, challenged businesses to a decorating contest for Christmas. Craig Carlson and his business, Carlson Construction, locked down first place with a 19-foot snowman. The next year, 32 feet tall. He just kept growing.
I know. Carlson says that he got permission to collect and use the snow plowed off nearby parking lots and then used construction equipment to put the big guy together.
I love contractors. It's just great where it's like, if we've got the big rigs, let's use them.
I know it. The snow is braced by a plywood frame. It's located on Highway 35 in Polk County.
And I'm guessing you can see it from the highway. Probably at 40 feet tall.
Wow. Well, nobody's going to outdo that. I mean, you can't think. But I might have thought that at 32 feet, you know, which was what it was last year. So,
well done, Craig.
Hi, this is Caden, and I like Parmesan cheese on my spaghetti. Bye. Love you.
Jordan St. Cyr, Weary Traveler, WWIB, and Cheese Lovers Day, asking you today on the listener line and the WIB Wake Up Show Facebook page, what's your favorite kind of cheese and how do you like it served?
Yeah, also,
a slice of Limburger cheese on lutefisk, a real Norwegian treat.
All right, John, there we go. Keeping it Norwegian.
Yes, and excuse me for butting in there, John, because I would not have thought of Limburger and lutefisk. But again, the Norwegian folk, they're made of stern stock, and we are glad to have them here, even if I wouldn't necessarily partake of every single one of their delicacies.
I've got Norwegian heritage, and my daughter is there right now. We just video chatted yesterday, Grace, at the YWAM base. And, in fact, the big thing I've learned food-wise is not anything about lutefisk, but that they do Taco Friday in Norway.
Really?
Yeah, they do Taco Friday, not Taco Tuesday.
So you know what? It deserves 2 days a week, I think.
They love their tacos.
So on this Cheese Lovers Day, we asked on the WIB Wake Up Show Facebook page, and you're welcome to call it in as well. Leave us a voicemail at 715-396-1670. What is your favorite kind of cheese and how do you like it served? Angie says Colby. Now, she's got to get detailed here. Colby, room temperature Colby with a Ritz cracker. Mm-hmm. Classic.
That is for sure. Kaya says Baby Swift with craisins.
Mm. Susan, we mentioned this earlier. She says, yeah, I just like too many flavors of cheese. I can't have a favorite. Can't choose. That's all right, Susan.
Mary goes with the LeGrander's, Colby, or Pepper Jack.
Yes, both excellent. Tammy says on the Wib Wake Up Show Facebook page, my favorite cheese for sandwiches and burgers is Swiss. To eat with crackers or on its own, a smoked Gouda. She says the best way to have cheese is a good beer battered deep fried cheese curd. And she says, yeah, not really any bad cheeses.
And finally, Sharon, best cheese she ever had. She found at a local dairy, maple cheese. She said, oh, my goodness, fantastic. On a burger, it gave the just right amount of sweetness. I've never found it since. Oh, and so there you go. She's loving that.
And one more from Pat that just came in, too. She says, my favorite is a Polish sweet cream recipe that is like a ricotta or a farmer's cheese that you can make at home. She says you mix it with a few things and it goes great on crepes, etc. Wow. Now we're getting fancy.
We are.
If you wish the phrase no worries would just go away, don't worry, you're not alone. Lake Superior State University released its annual list of the top 10 words and phrases deemed misused, overused, or just plain useless. The list, which the school first started back in 1976, includes submissions from all over the world, including 1,250 words submitted by folks here in the United States. And these are the winners, so to speak, the words picked by the school's English department. Let's just ban them in 2022, they say.
And so for starters, wait what? Take home the crown. While no worries at the end of the day, that being said, and asking for a friend finished up the top five. I think that's kind of, I mean, it's kind of lighthearted fun, but I guess maybe it was an overused, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And again, you realize how often you hear some of these things as they become popular in public lexicon and maybe too popular and you just get tired of them. So wait what? No worries at the end of the day. Yeah, yep. And asking for a friend, it's kind of a humor technique, I think, in Facebook commenting. And yeah, I'm tired of that, too.
It kind of reminds me, though, when Millionaire was so popular, phone a friend, right? Yeah.
Several other phrases that grew in use and popularity, especially due to the pandemic, such as you're on mute, you new normal, and supply chain also make an appearance alongside circle back. Let's circle back or deep dive. We're going to take a deep dive into that and circle back. Hey, you're on mute.
I got to say, of that list, the one that stands out that it seems like I've heard certainly a lot is at the end of the day. You do hear that a lot. So.
Yeah. And pivot. I'd put pivot on there, too. Okay. And, you know, again, business lexicon making its way into popular usage as well. Now, we also, speaking of businesses, had a list of some positive and negative words for hiring ads.
Yeah.
Because, again, it seems like the whole world is hiring right now. And here are some that they say, you know what, shouldn't use these anymore. It's just not attracting anyone.
Right. So here's the deal, right? I mean, employers, the great challenge out there. We've got the great worker shortage, and it's not going to get solved anytime soon. And, Caleb, this was a problem even before the pandemic. But now we've got people who are not re-entering the workforce, and so the employers, and basically here's the advice. Let's start on the negatives. Like, don't use the word apparently guru, competitive, challenge, wizard, or ninja. I'm not sure exactly why.
Well, but again, some it's just sort of that thing a lot of tech companies, oh, well, you know, we want a CSS ninja for our team. And, you know, it's not really working anymore.
Okay.
You know, so.
So what are some ones they should use?
They're saying, again, positive words to use in your job advertising: growth, challenge, which makes no sense because challenge was also in the negative words, creative, motivated, and flexible.
Well, it's kind of like a proverb. Sometimes you go, do this, and then it gives it another
beat your
spin
swords
on it,
into
right?
plowshares, yes. and then, right. you know, so.
But
for what it's worth.
One of the things, even in recent time, right, we've had a lot of ads here on Wib and Wogo of people, of employers looking for
and
employees.
Excellent companies as well, too. So, again, if you know someone looking, maybe it's time for you to look as well.
In fact, one of those companies, we don't need to name them, but I know that they did get their employees, right? So they kind of...
Yeah, and now thankfully they're still helping us out by supporting local sports. But it was great to hear them say, you know what, we actually found who we were looking for.
That's good.
So, yeah, thank you to all of you who pay attention to those ads.
Absolutely.
Well, the sun-splashed, snow-free nation of Jamaica is one you largely think of at Olympics time for the Summer Olympics. Of course, phenomenal sprinters for so many years. And then, as far as the Winter Olympics go, way back in 1993, it's crazy to think it was that long ago now, the movie Cool Runnings came out, that fictionalized but still based on truth account of the Jamaican four-man bobsled team from the 1988 Olympic Games. Well, 10 years later, Jamaica once again put a four-man bobsled team in the 1998 Nagano Games. They've had some two-man bobsled teams, but since 1998, we're talking 24 years, they have not had a four-man bobsled team qualify for the Winter Games until now. They did it again.
All right.
Fiction becoming reality, the movie becoming reality once again. Yes, Jamaica earned the final, the very last qualifying spot in the 2018 four-man bobsled competition and will compete next month in Beijing. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Brakeman Nimroy Turgot told the Today Show on Wednesday, he says, I'm absolutely buzzing. I'm happy. I'm not going to try to do his accent. I'm sure Susan could.
Yeah.
He says, I am thrilled for myself and my teammates at what we have accomplished.
Fantastic.
What was interesting as I dug into this a little bit more is, again, this isn't just good fortune for them. This is hard work and dedication. In the early days of the pandemic back in 2020, this bobsled team earned some attention after they were spotted pushing a Mini Cooper down English city streets to keep up with their training. And again, probably a lot of training facilities closed. So they said, we're not going to stop training. So if you've all seen those cars, the Mini Cooper, there's still some heft to that. They pushed it down the streets because, again, with the bobsled, especially the four-man bobsled, it's all about the start, right? And then the steering afterward. Yeah. They even earned some attention from Queen Elizabeth on a video call. After hearing of their vehicular exertions, Queen Elizabeth replied with a chuckle, well, I suppose that's one way to train.
Huh.
Congratulations, well,
yeah,
guys.
We wish them the best. So when did the Olympics start, do you know?
February 3rd, I believe.
So the early part of February. Well, we're looking forward to that. There's been a lot of, obviously, I mean, the COVID problems, right? The summer games had been pushed back, et cetera, and now...
I mean, I love it that we get the Olympics so close together. And, of course, a shout-out, too, if you missed the sports earlier today, Ben Loomis, Eau Claire native, qualifying for his second consecutive Winter Olympics in the Nordic combined event. We'll be cheering on Ben from back here. I was going to say in the warmth. Probably not.
You get some good sports that you're familiar with, hockey and such, that you see other times. But other sports, like bobsledding or the luge, you really don't see except for the Winter Olympics.
Yeah, and it's not the type of sport that you can necessarily just pick up and try.
Mm-hmm.
When I see how fast they go in luge and bobsled and skeleton, it's like, yeah, I think I would be a skeleton pretty fast if I tried that.